The study this month has been on love, love, and talk about love in the English language here for just a few minutes. Now, in the English language, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when I spoke, the word love in the English language is used in so many contexts. How many would agree? There's people that say, man, I love chocolate. Anybody here love chocolate? I love ice cream. Some people say, I love that actor, I love that football player, I love this neighborhood, so forth and so on. And there's a lot of people that say, man, I love another person. But you know, a lot of times it's a friendship love. You know, one person says, man, I love that person. This lady says, man, I love this person. But a lot of times that's just a friendship kind of love, a love where two people have something in common. Maybe it's two guys that like to fish or that like to golf or that like to do a certain sport or hobby or activity together. And so they say they really care for each other. They love each other. And that's a friendship kind of love. And, you know, a man may say that he loves a woman, or a woman may say that she loves a man, but it probably really is just a romantic kind of love, right? And a marriage founded on just romantic love will not make it. You know, romantic love, a person who says, man, I just love that guy, or I just love her, she's so, so pretty, and, you know, she just makes me feel so good in my emotions, or he makes me feel so good on the inside, or she makes me feel so good physically. That's just romantic love. That's an immature, self-focused love. How many would agree? All right, and Paul the Apostle writes to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he talks about love. But he's not talking about love in the ways that we just described. He is talking about a superior kind of love. You got to understand, in the Greek language, there are several words for love. The New Testament was written originally in Greek. And the word that Paul is using here for love in 1 Corinthians 13 is agape. Say it with me, agape. Agape, and that's what this month's study has been on, is agape love. Agape is the God kind of love. The God kind of love. It's unconditional love. It's a no strings attached love. Is that making sense? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, he writes this. Paul writes, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. So in this chapter, he's talking about a mature kind of love, the agape love, the God kind of love. And agape, let's define agape love a little more. Agape love chooses to love another by a decision of the will. So you look at somebody who may smell differently than you, who looks funny, who you don't have anything in common with, but you still decide and choose to love that person with the love of God. That's agape. It doesn't love by feelings. You know, some people say, man, I'm just so in love with her, or I'm just so in love with him. That's not agape love. That's love based on feelings. Agape love chooses to love another even when it does not feel good. Is that making sense here tonight? Agape love is a self-sacrificing love, and it's the maturest form of love that a mature Christian can demonstrate. Let me say it again. Agape love is the maturest form of love that a mature Christian demonstrates toward another person. Agape love sets self aside to benefit another person. And this is the way God loves us. How many would agree? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loved us with agape love. You know, God would have liked his Son Jesus in heaven always with him. But he gave him into this world for 33 years to do what? To benefit us, so that we would be saved from the grip of sin, so that we would be saved from hell. Is that making sense? God gave to us his very best, Jesus Christ, into this earth 2,000 years ago so that we would be benefited. You see, Jesus left the splendor and the beauty and the pomp of heaven to come to a sin-riddled world. Jesus left the beauty of heaven. Heaven is beautiful. Heaven is awesome. You see what I'm saying? And He did it not because He felt like coming to a sin-riddled world. He did it because He chose to love us by His will. That's agape love, right? It says in Romans 5:8, what? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. While this world was yet in a state of sin, Jesus Christ died for the sinners. When He was dying upon the cross, what did He say about His accusers, His crucifiers? What did He say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even though they were crucifying Him, even though they were accusing Him, even though they were mocking Him, you know, it didn't feel, maybe He didn't feel like loving them. It was hard to love them, but He chose to love His crucifiers. In the middle of it all, He still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He chose to love. And tonight I want to talk about a parable that describes or demonstrates mature love. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. A parable on mature love. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it tonight. Luke chapter 10. And it says this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. So he wanted to justify himself and he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So we have a bleeding Jew here. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Could you imagine? A religious leader, a priest, saw this bleeding Jew and passed him by. What a shame, right? And then it says this, so too, in verse 32, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Another translation says he had compassion on him. Verse 34. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So this is a parable on what? What kind of love? This is a parable about agape love, the God kind of unconditional love. This Samaritan loved the bleeding Jew with God's love. Now, we're going to talk about the self-sacrificing nature of this Samaritan's love. The self-sacrificing nature of the Samaritan's love found in Luke chapter 10. First of all, you've got to realize a little bit of history here. The Jews and the Samaritans had racial animosities. The Jews did not mingle with the Samaritans. There was racial animosities between the two races. But the Samaritan did something to show God's love. He sacrificed what? Number one. What did he sacrifice? You got it. He sacrificed his reputation. He should not have been around a Jew. A Jew should not have been around him. But he sacrificed his reputation. He didn't care what other people thought about him. All he knew was that there was a bleeding Jew that needed help. So he sacrificed his reputation for the benefits of another person. Is that making sense here tonight? He stopped and he helped him. Number two, he sacrificed what? He sacrificed his time. That's good, just like this man is reading my message. He sacrificed his time. How many here tonight would agree that the Samaritan was on his way somewhere? He was on a schedule. He had to get somewhere, right? But what did he do? He sacrificed his time. He sacrificed his schedule for the benefits of the bleeding Jew. He gave up some of his time. Self-sacrificial love, agape love. Finally, he sacrificed what? He sacrificed what? Somebody said it right here. He sacrificed what? He sacrificed his money. He sacrificed his resources. If you look at verse 34, it says this. It says, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. So he paid for the man to be in an inn, right? Then he says, the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Now, the Samaritan probably had money set aside to pay certain bills, right? To do certain things with it. Yet, what did he do with his money? He rediverted it. He sacrificed it. He paid for the expenses of the bleeding Jew. Is that making sense here tonight? The agape love of God sacrifices in many different areas. So, let me ask you this tonight. What motivated the Samaritan to sacrifice the way he did? Say it again. Love of God. Okay, agape love, that's right. Agape love, part of agape love is what? It is in verse 33. It is what? It is compassion. It says in verse 33 that when the Samaritan saw him, he took pity on him. He had compassion on him. What is compassion? It's founded, it's rooted in God's love. Compassion is what? Compassion is actually feeling on the inside of you, in your innermost parts, feeling the hurt and the pain of somebody else. Feeling the pain of another human being. And then being moved to take action to relieve that person of their pain and suffering. That's what compassion is. Feeling the person's hurt, then doing something to relieve that person of their suffering. And that's exactly what the Samaritan did. Would you agree? He felt for him. He felt the hurting that he was going through. And then he did something. He bandaged him. He took him to an inn. He paid for the expenses. He sacrificed his time. Is that making sense? You know, when you sacrifice yourself, when you sacrifice of yourself here on this earth, guess what? You may never be repaid here on this earth. But guess what? God is keeping an account in heaven, and one day God will reward you for the good that you've done. God ultimately one day will reward you for the good that you have done. He will say to you when you enter heaven one day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." Now, after all, isn't true Christianity about a denial of self? See, there's some that preach out there that if you become a Christian, all these good things are going to happen to you. You're going to have these awesome cars and these bigger houses and nicer things and better jobs, so forth and so on. And God wants us to be financially provided for. But some preach that is what Christianity is about. But really, true Christianity of the New Testament is about what? It is about a denial of yourself. Luke chapter 9, turn back a chapter, verse 23 and 24. Jesus says this. He says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." So true Christianity is not about acquiring bigger and better things. True Christianity is about what? It's about denying self, putting self aside. Doing good for others even when it is uncomfortable, inconvenient to do good for them. Is that making sense here tonight? You might be wondering, you know what, Jonathan, I'm in need myself. I'm here at the shelter. I'm limited on resources. I don't have much money to my name. I don't even have a place to live at. I'm here at the shelter. What good can I do for somebody else? But I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, guess what? There is somebody out there tonight that is in greater need than you are. There is somebody out there tonight, I've said this many times before, that is sleeping under a bridge. There is somebody out there tonight that hasn't eaten for 2 days. You get a square meal here every single day, right? There is somebody out there in greater need than yourself. And it may not be comfortable to reach out. But the agape love of God says what? It says, reach out even when it is not convenient. Is that making sense? What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 10, verse 37? Concerning this parable of the Good Samaritan. Verse 36. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. That applies to us, right? So Jesus is saying to us tonight that we should go and do as the Good Samaritan did. Is that making sense? You know, there may be somebody out there of a different race. And maybe you've been taught not to associate or have anything to do with somebody of another race. Like the Samaritans and the Jews, right? But what does God's love say? God's love says, step beyond those racial boundaries, step out of yourself, and relieve that person's suffering. You know, maybe somebody on the side of the road that has a flat tire. Maybe it's an older woman, and she can't change it herself. She's short on money. It's dark. It's at night. And you're of another race, and you've been taught not to associate with that person. But what does God's love say to do? It says to sacrifice your reputation, sacrifice that teaching you've been raised with, and reach out to help that person. Is that making sense? Maybe your time is limited. Maybe you're on the way going somewhere. You've just got to get somewhere. You got to go somewhere, and there's somebody out there that is on the side of the road just beaten up like a Jew, bleeding. Or somebody out there who's just crying out for food. They're starving. They're hungry. And you've got some money to your name. And you're just, you have an agenda. You've got somewhere to get to. You've got a schedule. You've got to be at such and such a place in 30 minutes. It's inconvenient. But my question to you tonight is this. Will you sacrifice your time? Will you stop and perhaps be be late for that appointment, if you can, and help that person in need? Is that making sense here tonight? You know, it might be concerning finances, resources, where, you know, maybe you've got $50 to your name. And you know, there's a family out there that hasn't eaten for 4 or 5 days. And you sense on the inside that you're supposed to give $40 to that family, but you're like, man, I just can't do it. I only have $50 to my name. That's going to leave me with 10 bucks. But you sense on the inside, do it, even though it's not comfortable, even though it's not convenient, and you step out of yourself and you sow that money. Guess what, friends? You just demonstrated agape love, the God kind of love. Is that making sense here tonight? Sacrificing self in so many different areas, in different ways. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God will reward you. You may be at your last $50, but guess what? If you sow it, if you sense God is telling you to sow it into somebody else's life, God is keeping an eye over you. God will multiply it back to you in ways that you never imagined. Is that good news here tonight? Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Whatever a person sows, that also shall he reap. Mother Teresa. How many here know about Mother Teresa? Let me read a few of her quotes. A few of her quotes concerning love. And this is what it says. True love causes pain. Jesus, in order to give us the proof of his love, died on the cross. A mother, in order to give birth to her baby, has to suffer. If you really love one another, you will not be able to avoid making sacrifices. Here's another one. Someone once told me that not even for $1 million would they touch a leper. I responded, neither would I. If it were a case of money, I would not even do it for $2 million. On the other hand, I do it gladly for the love of God. That's good, right? To love and to serve the poor presupposes something that has nothing to do with giving them our leftovers or giving them the food we do not like. It has nothing to do with giving them the clothes we no longer wear just because the clothes are no longer in fashion or because we no longer like them. Is this sharing the poverty of the poor? Of course it is not. One more right here. And she was a great missionary in Calcutta, India. How many know that? Mother Teresa, a Catholic. The lepers, the dying, the hungry, the ones sick with AIDS, they are all Jesus. One of our novices was aware of this. She had just entered the congregation after finishing her studies at the university. The next day, she was supposed to accompany another sister to help at the home for the dying in Kalagat. Before they left, I reminded them, you know where you have to go. During the Mass, notice how tenderly and lovingly the priest touches the body of Christ. Do not forget that Christ is the same Christ you touch in the poor. The two sisters left for Kalagat, and 3 hours later they returned. One of them, the novice, knocked on my door. She told me, full of joy, Mother, I touched the body of Christ for the last 3 hours. Her face reflected her deep joy. What did you do? I asked her. Right after we arrived, she answered, they brought us a man covered with wounds. He had been picked up from the rubble. I had to help take care of his wounds. It took 3 hours. Therefore, I touched the body of Christ for 3 hours. I'm sure it was him. That young novice had understood that Jesus cannot deceive us when he assures us, I was sick and you took care of me. And guess what, friends? When you sacrifice of yourself like the Good Samaritan did in Luke chapter 10 for the benefit of another, guess who you're touching? You're touching Jesus himself. That person in need, that person that God has sent across your path that needs the love of God through your touch is Jesus in disguise. Jesus says it in Matthew 25, verse 40. He says, for as much as you've done it to the least of these, you have done it for me. When you touch that person in need, it's just not another person. You're touching Jesus himself. Isn't that awesome? I mean, if Jesus were in this room tonight in flesh and bone, and he said to stand, we would stand, right? If he said jump, you would say, Jesus, how high, right? Well, guess what? Jesus Christ is all around you, in the people that you meet every single day. And when you touch them with the love of God, with the agape love of God, reaching out beyond yourself when it's not comfortable, when it's not convenient, guess what? You are touching the heart of Almighty God. And the opposite is also true. The opposite is also true. That if you hurt somebody who's made in the image of God, we're all made in the image of God, if you hurt another human being, guess what? You're hurting Jesus. Because every single person on the face of this earth is created in the image of God. And if you hurt another person, you are hurting the heart of God. That making sense? The people you touch on this earth with God's love, the less fortunate, those needier than yourself, may never be able to repay you on this earth. But God will repay. Is that good news? God is keeping an account of every single thing that we do. We'll take only two things into eternity with us. Two things we will take into eternity with us. Number one, our relationship with Christ. And number two, what is it? The souls, the good that we've done for others while on this earth. I encourage you, friend, if there's somebody that you've hurt And you know you've heard them in some way, some fashion. I don't know how it is. You know how it is. I encourage you to make amends with that person. Make peace with that person that you've hurt. Reach out to them and help them in a way that would just melt them like butter. Is that good? Because you know what? The way we treat others, we will be treated one day. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap.